Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, just like this one. And it was also a Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, like this one, and a Mevorchim HaChodesh. Only that year was even Erev Rosh Chodesh of Adar. The year is Tavshin Mem Gimel, the equivalent of 1983. Kisisa Esreish B'nai Yisrael. This mimer focuses not on the Parshat HaShavua, namely Mishpatim, but rather on the special Torah reading, which heralds the final month of the year and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And we begin with the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, of giving the half shekel, something that was performed by the Jewish people on an annual basis during the month of Adar. And so prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, we have this reading and making it a very public declaration so that everybody knows the campaign has now begun. And on a deeper level, when we read about this, it's as if the mitzvah is being performed from the perspective of Unishalma Parens Vaseinu, that when we speak of things or read of them in the Torah, that it becomes as if we're actually fulfilling the mitzvah. With that little preamble, Kisisa, Sereish B'nai Yisrael, Parshas Shkolim begins with the words, when you raise up the heads of the Jewish people, etc. V'nosenu ish kofer nafshei, each person will give the expiation or ransom of his soul. Ze yitnu, this is what they should give. Machatzis ha-shekel, a half shekel. Goymer, etc. Ha-osher le-yarbe, the rich shall not add or increase. V'hadal lo-yamit, and the poor shall not give less. And all of this is, as the psukim conclude, lechaper al nafshesechem, to bring ransom or atonement for your souls. So our Rabbeim famously spoke about this pasuk in many Maimarim, and their exacting and precise analysis generally began with the notion of madua. Why is it that nishtana mitzvazu mishaor hamitzvus? Why is it that this mitzvah is different than all mitzvahs? How is this mitzvah different? This mitzvah is different because typically we say, when you do a mitzvah, give it all you got. And if somebody can do the mitzvah in a more beautiful way, then by golly, he or she should. And that's called hider mitzvah. That's called beautifying a mitzvah. And that's called doing a mitzvah with every ounce of wherewithal and according to your own individual ability. So here yet we say, no, doesn't go that way. Ha'asha le'yarba. If you're rich, that's nice. Don't give anything extra. And then we say that the main thing is to have the right intentions. And even if you don't give anything that's impressive, at least you did the best you could. Not with this mitzvah. Here we say, hadal lo yamit. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Don't give less. Some of the Mefarshim actually talk about this idea that the rich had to give to the poor, so they should be able to fulfill this mitzvah. But nobody can give less, and nobody can give more. So this is different than all mitzvahs. And it's especially unusual because, as the Rebbe points out, when it comes to korbanot, when it comes to the special offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, the hakrovas hakorbanos, in the parentheses, we emphasize that the bringing of korbanos is kshura, is directly linked and connected to machzis hashekel. Sharei mi machzis hashekel makrivim es korbanos hatzibur. After all, it is from the machzis hashekel that we actually are able to bring the korban. That's how it pays for the korban, the daily korban. And with regard to korbanot, there's a rule. This rule is found in the end of Masechet Negoyim that speaks about a person who might be stricken with a malady of tzaras, a paranormal condition that brings ritual impurity and requires temple services. And when you went to the Beis HaMikdash, you had to bring three korbanot, a chatas, an ola, and an osham, an ascent offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering. So guilt offerings don't ever change. They're always the same. But ascent offerings and sin offerings can sometimes be of lesser value. You can bring birds, or you can bring meal offerings. And yet, very interestingly, when it comes to that has to do with your financial situation. A person's wealthy, brings a bigger korban. A person's impoverished, brings a smaller korban. So what happens if a rich person brings a poor person's offering? So the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us, Osher Shehevi Korban Ani, a rich person who brings a poor person's offering, Layotza. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Well, I still brought the korban. No, you didn't. You brought a korban that would have been fine if you were poor, but in fact you're not. So we see that when it comes to korbanot, we do look at your financial situation, at your wherewithal. And if somebody brings in a way which is beneath their wherewithal, they don't even fill the mitzvah. Valded, erzeh, similarly, be mitzvah ha-tzedakah. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is also kshur imachz ha-shekel, which also has a unique connection to this half-shekel giving, because after all, that is a giving of tzedakah. Issa be gemara ksubis, we say in the gemara in ksubis, sha'anesin tzedakah, that a person who does give tzedakah, tzarech laseis lefi erkeh v'yicholtei. You got to give it your best. That's called giving tzedakah. So if a wealthy person will give a small amount of tzedakah, it won't cut it. And if a poor person goes beyond the call of duty and scratches together whatever they could give and actually gives tzedakah, which is not impressive vis-a-vis the poor rich person's abilities, but it's impressive vis-a-vis his abilities, so we say in that case, then this is a beautiful act of holiness and righteousness. U'cha'asher keman deboile lemeved le'ovid, and when you did, but you did not in accordance with what you could have done. You underperformed. So then we say, as efshar she'yion yonim bilted etzuyim. The Gemara in Ksubas on page 67 has some non-savory things to say about what could come the way of a person who gives tzedakah but not in accordance with their financial standing. So what we see here is, number one, this mitzvah is unusual, different than all mitzvahs because it has these limitations. That's number one. Number two, this mitzvah is connected to korbanot. When it comes to korbanot, there's a special rule that says that the rich person cannot give the poor person's offering. Number three, this mitzvah is specially connected to the mitzvah of tzedakah. And when it comes to tzedakah, if somebody does a mitzvah, but he underperforms the mitzvah of tzedakah, we say bad things could happen. If a person puts on tefillin and they're very wealthy and they use the cheapest pair of tefillin they can get, they put up mezuzot and they use the cheapest mezuzot they can get, it doesn't say bad things are going to happen. It doesn't speak about this in a negative way. Ideally, a person would invest himself entirely in performing the mitzvah and be mahader, do a mitzvah with meticulousness and with expressing his love for the mitzvah and doing it in a beautiful way. But if you didn't, it's not the end of the world. At least you did the mitzvah. When it comes, however, to the mitzvah of tzedakah, we say that if you didn't do it in accordance with your ability, you're in big trouble. Which only serves to emphasize the unusual nature of this mitzvah. We say, rich people don't give more, poor people don't give less. Everybody gives exactly the same. And now the Rebbe says that the other thing that this is related to is nidvas ha-mishkan. And when it comes to the contributions that were brought for the mishkan, shahayu b'yud gimel, that there were 13 different items, or according to Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Kli Yakar, based on the Zohar, there are 15 items. Depends what system of nomenclature we use, but the notion is that there were many different kinds of items, and some of the items were more precious, more valuable, and some were less. Whether it was Zav, the gold givers, and then there was those who gave silver, and then there was the Chayshas, those who gave copper. And the copper giving was not on the same level as gold giving, so it's self-understood. Harei kol echad v'echad hevi lefi yecholtei. But each person brought in accordance with their ability, and that's all Hashem wanted. And yet, when it comes to this mitzvah of machz ha-shekel, this half shekel, which is also connected to the Mishkan, over there we say, ha-shali arbe, you're rich, don't you dare give 1 cent more. U'magam she'nemar kan l'chaperes nafshe seichem. And even more surprising, we emphasize that this mitzvah enables the atonement of one's soul. Afal pikin ha-shali arbe. And yet, the poor person shouldn't give more. How do you expect a rich person to find atonement for his soul if he can't even give according to his ability? How's he going to get atoned for? He's seeking atonement. He wants Hashem to forgive him. Go out of your way. Give it all you got. No, he gives a half a shekel. Will be yesed and he move on. And even more so is not understood. When it says here that the rich won't give more, and the poor won't give less, mashma it seems, shakavoni lebchinas osher v'dal b'nigei le'inyin ze'atzmai. We're talking about terminology which is not euphemistic. In other words, rich and poor is a relative term, because the theory of relativity really applies everywhere. So a person could be rich, rich in mitzvahs, rich in nachat, rich in health, the various things could be rich in. And here we say, no, we're talking about rich. Rich in the most literal way. Financially rich, financially poor. Ki im b'negeya le'mitzvah zu, einer b'b'chines asher v'dal. Sometimes you have a person who's rich, but for this mitzvah he's not rich. Le'hoya akasav madgesh b'chlal shu asher v'dal. A person who cannot study Torah, he's not rich in Torah knowledge. And we say for this person that a small amount of Torah study of simple subjects will do, but for somebody else who has totally different capabilities, we have a greater expectation and we expect more. But here we say the emphasis is that we're talking about rich and poor, quite literally rich and poor. So we have to say, with regard to this itself, we're talking about rich or poor, financially speaking. We really have to understand this. The only thing this person may be rich in is that he has money. So a famous pop singer once said, some people are so rich, so poor, all they have is money. So here, this all this guy has. He's not wise, he's not intuitive, he's not learned, he doesn't necessarily have a big family. He's rich when it comes to his bank account. So, I mean, that's the one mitzvah you could do, is give. So give, for heaven's sake. That's all you could do. No, can't be. In this mitzvah, we're talking about the usher. He's wealthy. Financially, that's the issue. And yet we emphasize that he can't give. And we also have to understand, tzarech lavin d'lecheira inyan zeh, this idea that the usher, the rich, will not give more, is hepecha amor, is the opposite of what's written in the Medrash with regard to Machtza Shekel. That the Medrash says over there, Einimak mevakesh el lefikhechad. Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is going to be atonement for a soul, giving a few bucks? How's that going to work? Half a buck? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I only want what they could do. It's all I'm asking for. Hainu, sha'abakoshi mekol echad lefikhechad v'yichol tidafke. That the request is, do according to your ability. Which raises the question mark, even more so, if it's due according to your ability, why do we say, ha'ashala yarbet? Okay, so we have a whole paragraph of questions of why something here does not seem to make any sense. Now, in the next paragraph of this mimer, the Rebbe speaks about the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have difficulty with this until God showed him a fiery coin. And L'cha'eira, it says, Zeh Yitnu, that the word Zeh seems superfluous, as the Gemara says in Shkolim and the Medrash says. And about this, Amar Razal, why does it say, Zeh Yitnu, this you should give? Sheher Alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'matbeah Matbeah Shalesh. Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have difficulty understanding the meaning of half a buck, until God showed him half a shekel. A half a shekel of pure energy, of proverbial fire. But that does not seem to make sense. What exactly did Moshe not understand? The Bishleim of the Menorah. When we talk about the Menorah, so it's moving. It's understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe a Menorah of Eish. Or even the Marab Etzboi, where he actually had to point and say, Zeh, this is the Menorah. Why? Because the Menorah is very ornate and it's filled with many, many details. Omnom. Half a dollar, that requires a tremendous elucidation. What's so hard to understand? And it's been mentioned, it's not the first time you hear about half a dollar. Previously we heard about half a dollar, we had no problem. Now we needed to see a fiery coin. We have to understand, it says he should give a machtza shekel, and the emphasis is on 20 gera. Which is a machzah shekel. If a shekel is 20 gera, a machzah shekel is 10 gera. So the Rebbe says, "Harei bekama v'kama mekemis metzino sha'ashleimis shel davar b'mispas eser." We find that 10 represents completion. There's a long Ibn Ezra about this, where he speaks about number 10 as being mispas shalom. And for example, we find that by the Mishkan was perfectly sized, that there was eser ames erech hakeresh, each board was 10 amas long. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amas high. At any rate, perfection is in 10. 10 is everywhere you have single digits, and then you get to 10, it's a unit. And then you start with single digits again, the teen numbers. And then you get to 20, it's a unit. And you get to 20, it's a unit. Then you get to 10 times 10, 100, that's a unit. 101, 102, 103. And so on continues. 1,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. So it's always about tens, decimals. Then Cain, so why did the Torah have to tell us that the shekel is 20 gera? On the contrary, you shouldn't say half a shekel is 20 gera. Say half a shekel is 10 gera. That's the number we'd be looking for. Acha inyan. The thing is like this, my friends. The af shenemar ha'oshala yarba v'dala yamit. There is, by the way, answers to this question in the literal pshat plateau, but that's not how we're going to deal with it here. Here is going to be a totally mystical and spiritual answer to the many questions that we posed this morning. And the answer goes like this. Yeah, it's true. It says the rich, don't give more. It says the poor, don't give less. Shneihem tzrichim losis eser. So how much do they have to give? 10 gera. The shekel's 20 gera. Or if to make it easier for you, 20 nickels. How much you have to give? 10 nickels you got to give. Everybody's got to give 10. Ela sheba eser gufa. When it comes to 10 itself, hini hadal neisen ha eser sheba hesem ledargosei. The poor person gives his 10, the 10 he has. Ha osher neisen eser sheba hesem ledargosei. And the rich person gives the 10 according to his level. Now, obviously, we're not talking about this in a literal sense, because money is money, and half a buck is half a buck, and 10 gator is 10 gator, and currency doesn't change for each person. But we're talking here now on a level of the spirit. We're talking on a level of soul. We speak here proverbially, and we talk about this notion that the idea of giving 10 is unique to each one, like it explains in the Maimarim of Chassidus, starting from Eira Teira, and in great detail in the Maimarim of the Rebbe Rashab in the Hemshech, the famous Hemshech Chaim Beis, that it says, the Osher Koy al Elam Hatzilis, that when you use spiritual terminology, the Torah is not talking about bank accounts, the Torah is not talking about stocks and bonds, the Torah is talking about a spiritual reality. And the world of Hatzilis, which is the world of emanation, the world in which divinity is abundantly and overwhelmingly the only reality that is known, and everything else is, if at best, just effulgence or just a ray that comes from it, a reflection of that truth. And the Eser Geira are Eser Sfiris D'Atzilus. Then we're talking about the wealthy. We're talking about the person who lives in the world of Atzilus. Then the person who lives in the world of Atzilus will give his Eser Sfirot, the Eser Sfirot of Atzilus. Vahadal, and the impoverished, this is Koy Ala Ilum is Biyad, that refers to the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The lower worlds, what makes a world lower or higher, it won't help you to take a ladder or to go in a plane or even a rocket ship. That's not about high and low. You don't get closer to God when you're flying over the ocean. You're close to God when you're able to divest yourself of the materiality that clouds your hard drive, that gets in the way of your field of vision, and you're able to see with clarity the presence of Hashem. And that is not simple at all, especially if you're stuck in a world that overwhelmingly emphasizes the concept of materiality and otherness than God. So Eser Geira Delay, that 10 Sfirot, or those that 10 soul faculties of Eser Sfiris Biyah are of the poor person. And this is the message. Despite the fact that on a literal level we speak here about total unanimity in giving, at least technically, but spiritually speaking, there's a huge difference in the giving. Everybody's giving in the same image, but they're giving of themselves. And because they're giving in the same image, but giving of themselves, because everybody is different, so the giving is different. The rich will not give differently than the poor. Everybody will give exactly the same. That is right. You wanted to say that it has to be 10? You're right, it has to be 10. You have to give all 10 soul faculties, all 10 of your abilities, the whole range of human endeavor, the whole range of one's spiritual psychoschematic has to be given. And yet, despite the fact that we're saying each person has to give it all they got, 10 is only half a shekel. And the reason is because yesh beis inyone shlemus. There's two kinds of perfection. There's two kinds of wholeness or intactness. There's two ways in which we say, give it all you got. There's the shleimus, there's a perfection that comes milmata lamaila, when the direction is reaching up from below, trying to come closer to Hashem. That's one kind of perfection. Give it all you got means when you reach out to heaven, give it all you got in your desire to lift yourself out of the reality that you find yourself, to draw yourself or bring yourself into a higher existence, you have to give it all you got. The thrust has to be with every ounce of wherewithal. But then there's a different shleimus, and that's the shleimus of milmaila lamata, that begins on high and has a downward direction, one of actualization. This is known in the language of the Pardes as Esa Sfiris Momata Lamaila, the Esa Sfiris Momaila Lamata. Ukamoi, for example, the Adam Arishain, the first human being, it says, Sheshlemus Avidase, he be Isaruso de Leilo. Milmaila Lamata. That by Adam Arishain, you cannot say that he began his Aveda by reaching out to God from below. God started by reaching out to him. God stimulated things. He got him going. Harehu yitzir kapash laKadosh Baruch Hu. He was proverbially created by the palm of God. K'meisha Kosov, like it says, Golmi ro'ei necha. That my eyes first saw myself first as a golem, as a rough or a non-life, just like a corpse, just like the shape of a human, and Adam's consciousness could see that. But this is a shleimus mitzad habayda. God created a perfect mannequin. God created a perfect creature. And then Adam had to like respond. So God started it off. But that's the way it is in the beginning of creation with Adam. Mashenkin kol echad mi Yisrael. But every single human being, every one of us, every member of Am Yisrael, hareu katan shenelad. We don't start off created by God. God created Adam in a perfect specimen. At 20 years old, at the zenith of his strength, perfectly handsome, striking, everything exactly choreographed. But we're not like that. We're born as babies. We're not capable of doing anything ourselves in the beginning of life. Adam could do everything himself. We can't do anything ourselves. And until we grow up, until we come into our developing our potential. But in the beginning, we have to be nurtured and developed because we are undeveloped as children. Even when a person grows themselves, and the growing and developing that doesn't come through the hands of others, even self-growth and development, but nonetheless, even that happens over time. And only after time and effort, does one reach perfection in Aveda. Adam Arishan that was created at the age of 20, and the Rebbe points out that the Gemara in Bava Basra says that perfection doesn't come at bar and bat mitzvah, but perfection comes as the limker b'nichsi aviv, to get involved in one's parents' real estate, so to speak, to get involved in residuals, to be trusted with matters of serious commerce, that you have to yehibin esim shana, you have to be 20 years old. I know that is to say, even though when it comes to our making our efforts, this is all with the help of God. It's not that we ourselves are able to put life together and figure things out. But nonetheless, the person who's making the efforts and working has to work by using up his own cylinders. Fire up your own cylinders. Do the best you can. Kikach ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what God wants. God wanted that should not be proverbial bread of shame, which means things that come for free, that we don't toil on it, we don't work at, because if we don't toil it, we don't work on it, we don't really appreciate it, and it feels empty to us. So we have basically this notion that all of existence, all of spiritual endeavor is one of two ways. Either it comes milmaila, lamata, the direction is from on high, and we're bringing it forth, or we're elevating ourselves. That's Momata Lamaila. And the point that Rebbe makes in the Maimer is that whatever you're doing, or whenever you're doing, you have to fire all your cylinders and you have to give it all you got. Whether you're working on the Momaila Lamata, taking something and bringing it down from a loftier level into our realm, or whether you're working on uplifting the reality that's around you, you have to do it with all 10 spheres. And that's Ha'asher V'Ha'ar Hadal. The rich, the poor, is impoverished. He has nothing. He's trying to reach up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rich are trying to give. There is a benefactor. He's taking from on high. He's bringing, he's actualizing, he's bringing it below. But everybody has to give it all they got. Everybody has to give it in the image of 10 spheres. And that's the point that's being made. The question was, why do we give only a half? And the answer, which is going to be developed, but we're really out of time, is that we are but a half. Without God, we're only a half. Without our fellow, we're only a half. So we all have to know that despite the fact that we give it all we got, all we get is a half. But you have to give it all you got. It's a paradox. On one hand, know you're a half. On the other hand, know that if you give it all you got, all 10 spheres, within the frame of knowledge that we're doing this together and we're in this with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the Momaila Lamata and Momata Lamaila in both directions, then the Machzah Shekel can effectively achieve the notion of Korban and Kirov and closeness with Hashem. And all of this, speaking about this, ruminating on it, learning its lessons, as the Rebbe concludes the Maimer, which we're not going to be able to do today, is hastens and accelerates the process of redemption and the coming of Mashiach, in which the third Beis HaMikdash will rise, and then we will give Machzah Shekel all over again. B'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen. Thank you for joining us. Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos.